The class tonight is going to be, by His grace, Mananath Prabhu, Mananath Prabhu. We're very excited that Mananath Prabhu here is in Dallas with us now. He's giving wonderful classes. He's enthusing us so much. You're really in for a treat, so don't leave. Stay and listen to class. It's really going to be special. Mananath Prabhu is very realized. He's spent a lot of time in India. He's a disciple of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And he is an initiating spiritual master. So very special. Let's hear it. Mananath Prabhu ki. We're going to begin streamlining some of the Sunday program. So the announcements are going to be a little shorter. And we're going to have a set time for the class. We want 30 minutes for the class and 10 minutes for questions. Give or take a few minutes because sometimes it gets exciting. So that's it for announcements. And we'd like to recognize the new folks. If anybody's here for the first time, please raise your hand. And we want to just say hello. Anybody here for the first time? If you raise your hand and you get acknowledged, we have a free book for you. We have Bhagavad Gita. If you like Bhagavad Gita, even if you don't want to raise your hand and you're here for the first time and you want a Bhagavad Gita, please see Nityananda Chandra or me. And the Gitas are right out in the hallway on the table. So just help yourself to a book. But that's it for announcements. The picnic's tomorrow, we hope. Y'all can come out to the picnic. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's hear it for His Grace. Mananath Prabhu ki.
So where are you going to put it? If it is too complicated, then, you know.
Too low, still.
Huh?
Too low, the stand?
Yeah, I mean, it's... where are you going to put it?
On the floor there.
On the floor.
Then
just give me the cart also.
With the stand now?
Oh, you stand, okay. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. It's okay, just perfect. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Sodanandana Raja Janarangana Yashodanandana Raja Janarangana Yamuna Tiravanachari
Punjabi Hare. Jaya Rao Dama Dava Punjabi Hare. Gopi Jana Vallabha Grivara Dhare. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Grivara Dhare. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Such a beautiful song. The song Jaya Radha Madhava is a song that Srila Prabhupada liked very much, and it's a window on Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. It is made of Krishna's names. Krishna's names are very beautiful, very sweet. Once you begin saying Krishna's names, you cannot stop. Can you imagine the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an incarnation of Krishna 500 years ago, even when he had to go to do some personal physiological thing, he had problems because you're not supposed to say japa or chant your Gayatri while you are doing certain physical necessities. So he was putting his tongue in the midst of his teeth just to block it, like this. So otherwise his tongue would continue to say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because it's so sweet, it's so natural to chant Hare Krishna. Because this mantra, this Maha mantra, Maha means the most important. If you have many things in front of you and you want to name the most important, then you call him Maha, like Maharaj, the most important amongst the leaders. That's Maharaj, what the meaning of Maharaj. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most important because it is composed of three very beautiful names of the Lord. Actually, they are the most important of names of the Lord. One is Rama, and Ram means taste, means happiness, means something that it gives you a lot of pleasure. And that is also the name of the original spiritual master, because the original spiritual master, which is Balaram, or in his most in, merciful incarnation as Nityananda Prabhu, a little bit more than 500 years ago, that by giving pleasure, of course, you are very strong in spiritual life. If you are happy, then you have no difficulties. Difficulties in life come when you are dejected, when you have some problems, you are sad, then your strength goes away. But if you are always enthusiastic and very happy, then life comes very easily. And you can do anything because you are internally very strong, powerful. And happiness and pleasure is what it comes from saying the name of the Lord, Ram. And Ram is Krishna. Ram is Krishna, and we cannot understand it because at his side there is the name Hara, Hare. Hare is the vocative of Hara. In feminine, names in feminine, in its vocative, it comes like Hara becomes Hare. Krishna and Rama also are in their vocatives, but the names in masculine names in A, then they stay as the subject, as the nominative. So vocative and nominative in their masculine, then it stays as they are. So, oh Krishna, oh Rama, then it's Krishna, Rama. Bahara, because it's feminine, becomes Hare. A Hare is love. Hare is devotion. It's the best you can have in life. What we want in life? In life we want to love people and be loved. So is there anything more important than this? People even kill themselves if they don't have anybody that loves them. Even when someone wants to be very powerful and wants to be very rich, actually they want to be appreciated. They want to be loved. Appreciation is a way of love. So everything people do, everything we do in life is because we want to give and we want to receive love. That's what we want, what we want to do. And why we want this? Because it's natural. Because this is how we are done. Because this is a spiritual energy. And we are made of this spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy of love that is called Hara. That is Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. So when you love and you are loved and you are happy because you have everything you want, then this person who has these qualities, who has these characteristics at a very high, actually at infinitum. So if you meet such a person, what you will feel? Respect to this person. Won't you feel to be attracted to this person? You find the most happy person, the most beautiful, the most loving and loved person. Then what you do? Obviously, you feel very attracted to him. And the person who is very attractive, actually all attractive, how you call it in Sanskrit? That's Krishna. That's Krishna. Krishna is so attractive because he contains all the positive qualities that you can imagine at his infinitum. I could say infinitum quantity. Is that correct? At his highest degree, we can say. That is the meaning of the mantra. That's a Krishna. Krishna's names is made of Krishna's names. Detecting, referring to the best qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Krishna has a lot of qualities, infinite qualities. But these are the most important for our spiritual lives. And this is why this mantra is called Maha Mantra, the great mantra. Because you can see Radha and Krishna in this mantra. So when you start chanting this mantra, immediately, if you have even a little interest of spiritual life, immediately you feel some pleasure. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wow, this is beautiful. This is attractive. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How come these devotees, they chant Hare Krishna the whole day? You know, and they never get tired, they never get bored. How come? There are sadhus in India who they do nothing else in life than chanting. You see them in Vrindavan and in Govardhan, in Radhakund. I lived in India, in Vrindavan, for quite some time, few years of my life, actually. I stayed in India for 4 years. Not much, but, you know, it's something. So in these 4 years' life, I saw people, incredible people. They would chant Hare Krishna or other mantras, but still names of Krishna, all day long. So you try to chant the name of one person, any person, even the most beautiful, the most powerful person that you know, all day long for 70, 80 years. You try to chant Obama, Obama, you know, every day for hours. I challenge you to do it for 2 or 3 days, and then you get so bored. What is this name, Obama, Obama? There is nothing inside. But you can chant Hare Krishna the whole life. There are devotees here been chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years, every day, for hours. So how come it's just a sound? Someone will say this is just a sound. It may have some mystical power, some mystical attraction in these names. But then it would be not enough, because after a few weeks that you chant it, if you don't deepen your understanding of what you are doing, then you give it up. You remain with some feeling, some sensation that you are chanting something very special. But that is not enough. Just chanting and not knowing, not doing, not practicing other branches, other parts, other anga, it's called in Sanskrit, other parts of devotional life. But those who do it regularly and practice the disciplines of bhakti yoga, they don't hear just a sound. There is something more than that. It's not just an energy. There is something personal inside the sounds. When you chant, when saints and pure devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, they don't just hear a sound. There is a person inside these names, like a seed. You know, just imagine a seed of a tree. A seed of a tree is something very small. You cannot look at, you know, you cannot meditate on a seed for very long. It's so small, after a while you get bored, you know, you cannot. But then, inside the seed, there is something very big, very beautiful. There is a tree. And a tree is something very important, because it gives you shade, because it gives you fruits, because it gives you smell, gives you perfumes. A tree can give so many things. It's so important. Here in Dallas, you have trees everywhere. But not in the place you walk. So always under the sun. You cannot walk much. Like in other places. I've been in so many other places. And you can walk and you have the trees. Because persons with some intelligence, they put the tree, you know, on the path. So that you can walk. I go almost every day to a park near here. But there is no tree. They put a tree in the middle, or you cannot walk because you have these chiggers eating you up. So you can really do it. But inside the seed, there is something else. Inside the sound, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Really, there is a person. There is a person inside the seed form that you can extract only if you can put the water of practice and devotion. The water, I'm mentioning water just to continue the analogy of the tree. Just like if you have a seed, You put it on the earth, and you take care of it. You put water, and you defend it against the weeds. Then it grows. It becomes a very useful tree. So Krishna and Vrindavan and Govardhan and the Yamuna and Radhakunda and Shamakunda and everything is inside this name. How is it possible? It's possible because there is nothing impossible for Krishna. And Krishna says, I enter into this name. I come inside. And with me, it comes my associates. It comes my abode. It comes Vrindavan. It comes my the places of my pastimes. Everything inside. Krishna sometimes comes in this world personally, and sometimes he comes in other forms. Krishna is not confined to a single form. He can take even very strange forms. Sometimes it may come as a lion, as a fish, as a river, as a mountain. He can come in any form he wants because he is all-powerful. So if he can become a mountain, so it can becomes also a name. And Krishna says in the Shastra, in the Vedas, I come inside a sound, and this is the main incarnation for this age. The main incarnation of this age is the sound incarnation of the Lord. And that's why the Hare Krishna, they chant Hare Krishna, always. And people come to the temple and they don't understand why we do so. Then we call ourselves yogis and then we chant and dance. What is this? Is this yoga? In India they are used to think to yogis as very serious, very sober, never smiling people, you know, in a meditation posture, maybe going up on the Himalaya and doing austerities. And then you have the Dallas yogis here, you know, the Hare Krishna always chanting and dancing. What yoga is this? In Kali Yuga, you cannot do the other type of yoga if you want to realize yourself. That's impossible. To reach spiritual realization by austerity yoga, by meditation, by physical posture is not possible. You can get some benefit, of course. You can feel better physically, you can feel better psychologically, and even do some spiritual advancement with the physical yoga, but not get spiritually realized, because the system of spiritual realization for this Kali Yuga, for this age, is through the chanting and meditation and meditating on the holy name of Krishna, the Mahamantra Hare Krishna. The Mahamantra Hare Krishna can be chanted the way we have been doing for over an hour. And this is called Kirtana. But there is also another way. Actually, there are various ways. Another way of using the Mahamantra for spiritualization is called Japa. And japa means to, how you say that? Murmur means to utter it with a voice, with a low voice, just enough that you can hear it. Kirtan is very loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you want to chant it loud because you want everyone to listen to it, because it's very beneficial for everyone. But there is another way, more private, where you privately and personally you try to get in touch with your Lord, with Radha Krishna. Then you sit down in the morning, preferably in the morning, very, very peacefully, and you just chant for yourself. The voice should be just enough to be heard. And that's what you should do. The mantra should come out of your mouth and enter into your ears. That's all. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. After a few minutes, your mind will go somewhere else. That's normal. You had to hear it, and to hear it, you had to not hear it, you had to listen to it. You had to pay attention, because otherwise, if you think to something else, then you will not go inside. Because you can do only one thing at a time. Either you listen to the mantra, or you listen to your mind telling, okay, what you have to do today? You have your business, you have your appointments, you have to go to the bank, you have to go to the lawyer. So many things that you cannot listen. Then the mantra will do like this, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It goes away. It doesn't go in. So what to do? After a few minutes, I give you 2 minutes and then you think to something else. This is very normal. Then you take, by knowledge, that means by buddhi, by intelligence, you know that your mind should be concentrated. You take your mind and say, no, you have to listen. You have to listen to the Maha Mantra. You should not think to something else. Concentrate. You take your mind, you bring it back. And again, Hare Krishna goes inside, Hare Krishna. After 2 minutes, again, the mind will go away, think to something else. And then again, by knowledge, you take the mind, you bring it back, and this is the yoga. It's not so simple that it looks. It's actually quite complicated. Making an effort to be concentrated on the Maha Mantra, that takes some practice. But then you'll see that if you are very serious about the chanting of the Hare Krishna in its japamala, means chanting a low voice with a mala. Mala is a rosary. So japamala. Mala is the rosary, the physical rosary. Chanting it with mala is japamala. Then if you are serious, japamala is important. You should chant it with a mala. Then if you are very serious, then you'll see the result. You'll not believe it. You will not believe to what will happen in your heart and your mind. A window which was closed, completely closed, will open up, and you'll be able to see a world you didn't even know that existed. That is a world of the Radha Krishna, the spiritual world. And these windows will open just by chanting Hare Krishna. Just by chanting. Everything else should be there, but everything else, all the other practices of the Bhakti Yoga, is just to help us chanting Hare Krishna better. So this is the most important of the practices, the chanting Hare Krishna. And you'll feel so happy. You will have an unbelievable realization. And your relationship with Krishna will wake up. And you'll be able to see Krishna, to hear from him. And then, one day, you'll be completely pure and be able not only to taste the life that we have been always anchoring for, but also be able to convince others to do the same. Because it takes a happy man to make other people happy. If you are miserable, you cannot convince anyone. Just like you cannot go to convince others not to smoke with a cigarette in your hand. You can't. It's ridiculous. So you cannot go, Prabhu chant Hare Krishna. No, man. Who will believe you? So we have 2 things to do in life. One is to be happy, and the other one is make other people happy by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So I just wanted to talk today about the Hare Krishna mantra. We have 20 minutes, a lot of time. So we have to choose now. If you want me to talk other 20 minutes, I have no problem. This philosophy is so vast that you can talk for weeks and months and years and never say again the same thing, so vast it is. But since it's Sunday and we are all here, and so we have an opportunity to discuss. And it would be so nice if every one of you, just every one of you, has questions. So, because questions are so important. Bhagavad Gita is not, I would call it in English, a soliloquy, when someone talks alone. How do you say that in English?
Soliloquy.
Soliloquy. It's not a soliloquy. It's questions and answers. There is a disciple, Arjuna, and the guru, Krishna, talking. And there is nothing like good questions to improve the presentation of the speaker. There's nothing so long. So I think Prabhu was the first.
Prabhu, thank you for that beautiful explanation of the Mahamantra. Can you once again explain Hare? How does Hare refer to Radharani? Or I understand the rest, but I may have not followed properly.
There is a mantra very much in use in India. Excuse me, but I have some problem. Sorry for the interruption. There is a some spiritual school, some math, let's call it, who don't chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, but they chant Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radha Rama, Radha Rama, like this. Because they object to the use of the word Hara, which comes from just like Hari. Hari means the one, the deliverer. So Hara is the feminine of Hari. So the so someone would say, well, this is not a specific personal name of Radharani. So how would you instruct Srimati Radharani for the name Hara, which means she who delivers? Then you should use Radha or Radhe. But then we have to understand that the name, the Mahamantra de Krishna, is meant for liberation, not for already liberated souls. That does not mean that already liberated souls do not like to chant Hare Krishna, or they do not actually chant Hare Krishna, because they imply by realization that Hara is Radha. But this mantra is made, is meant for liberation. That's why it's called mantra. Mantra means the chant for liberation. Then, if you want to liberate people, you should not give them access to something they don't have right to access. That means the most intimate section of the spiritual world. The name Radha is a very, very intimate name. It's the most important name in the creation, spiritual and material. So much so that it's said that if you just say Radha, Ra, Krishna will run after you, trying to give you what do you want? Liberation? You want what? I'll give you everything. If you say Da after Ra, you're just conquering. You have it in your hand. You can do with the Lord whatever you want. That's how deep, how intimate the name Radha is. It should not be used by those who are not qualified to use it. That's why the Mahamantra for liberation is characterized by Hara, which means she who liberates.
Sorry, can I ask one more question? You said use the mala, but sometimes it is more practical to carry a counter, you know, when you're walking, driving. So is this an offense?
No, there is no offense whatsoever. It's just that you might take, maybe in the early in the morning, not referring to you because I know that you do it, but just first thing in the morning, just sit down and chant maybe one or two or three, whatever you can, rounds with the mala, with the Tulsi mala. And then during the day, if you cannot finish your rounds or you want to chant, then you can use your counter or whatever. Of course, if you cannot chant, it's not any offense, chant with the counter, chant without the counter, chant while you go in the car, without chant as you like. But it's just a good practice to chant some rounds with the Tulsi Japamala. After him,
Maharaj Prabhu,
I will remember you.
I'll bring it back. Prabhu, I was wondering, could you explain the attitude or the mood that we should have when chanting our japa? Particularly not kirtan, because I think we go overboard and get ecstatic, but during japa particularly, what is the mood that we should try and have?
The mood should be very internal, should be no external mood. Unless, of course, you are a self-realized soul, a great Vaishnava, that you cannot just help it. Your body will manifest symptoms of happiness, etc. Otherwise, you should be very, very close to everything else outside. Just concentrate on the sound at the beginning of your practice. And then, when we'll be more advanced in spiritual life, then you'll be concentrated on something else. In the beginning, just a sound. Then by practicing on knowledge, that name will take more meaning. At the beginning, just Krishna. You don't know what actually Krishna means, because you don't know how he's made, where he is, what he says, what he does, what are his qualities. So it's just a sound. You like it, and you do it, you chant it. But you really don't give an intrinsic, which means automatic value to the name, because you don't know it. Because there is no jnana, there is no knowledge. Then you'll see that naturally, as years passes by, and the level, the degree of your knowledge increases, then you'll see that automatically when you say Krishna, it's not that you meditate, it's just that automatically Krishna will come with the knowledge you naturally attach to the name. Because you know so much about Krishna, that when you say Krishna will be completely different. And then by practice will come much more than just intellectual knowledge. Will come knowledge in terms of realization. And then when you say Krishna, it will come realization, will come knowledge enriched with realization. And then as you practice, and your knowledge deepens both by studying and by direct realization, because we should not forget that knowledge is intrinsic in our being. As we advance in spiritual life, knowledge comes automatically from the heart. Then, by practice and study, by realization and studying, there is more to attach. The name will be attached by so many other things, so many other transcendental elements. Then you chant. And when you say Krishna, you already know who is Krishna. The Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes, but secondarily, because this is the difference between our, let's call it for a second, religion and other religions. The fact that Krishna is a supreme person, is God, let's say it bluntly. The fact that Krishna is God is very secondary for a realized soul. It's just one of the qualities. Sometimes it's even transcendentally unknown. Take the gopis. They know that Krishna is God, but they cannot care less. They like Krishna not because he's God. They like Krishna because Krishna is likable. Is very likable. And he may be God or not, they don't care. If Krishna was not God, still they would be more attracted to Krishna than to God. There is this nice story about the gopis going around for Vrindavan forest to look for Krishna. And then they were looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And they found Lord Narayana, four hands. Lord Narayana is the Lord of Vaikuntha.
So it's God. It's one of the forms of the Supreme Personality. So what the gopis do? The gopis, they paid obeisances. Hare Krishna Narayan. They pay obeisances. And immediately they said, where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna somewhere? They didn't really care about the supreme Vaikuntha opulences. Having four hands, having millions of four hands, servants and golden palaces and buildings and so much money and Lakshmis, they just didn't care. And Krishna was just a coward boy. They just felt attracted because Krishna is so attractive. So the mood should be very intimate. And just close yourself, you and the name. You and what it will come in the future from the name. Prabhu?
Thank you. That was a good explanation. Thank you. In other disciplines of yoga and meditation, there's a stage after japa where you chant mentally in your mind. And in some practices, that's considered better. With the way we've learned the Hare Krishna mantra, is the last step, is that best step, the japa mantra, or is there a stage after that as well?
Very good question. The japa mala, or uttering the Lord's name and meditating with mind, there is no difference. There is no difference because chanting japa and meditating with the mind is just the same thing, are not two different things. When we say chanting japa is a meditation with the mind, it's just you add the sound itself that you utter. You try now, or even 1 year, or even 10 years, to chant 16 rounds or 64 rounds, or even more, as some in India do, with your mind. You just can't do it. It's just very, very, very difficult. Because you have senses. You see, this form of yoga, meditating with your mind, is a type of yoga that could be. It's not, you know, because I know that there are some of our same traditions that promote this kind of, even Vaishnavas, mainly Vaishnavas who promote this kind of meditation. So I cannot criticize because they are our own part of our own family. Still, there is some tinge of contamination by other philosophies who are not exactly Vaishnavas. The Vaishnava philosophy say Krishna is a person and we are persons. Krishna is a supreme Ishavashamidam Sarvam. He is the proprietor of everything. So you cannot renounce to something you have not. You cannot tell me, I renounce to this book. But it's not yours. How can you renounce something that is not yours? So if you say, I renounce the activity of the body, and I don't use it, then actually it's like saying, I renounce because I am the owner of my body. But you are not actually the owner of the body. The body has been given you by material nature, and you have to use it in Krishna's service. And you will see that without engaging the body, then you will not advance in spiritual life. You had to engage physically your body. And the most important, the most difficult of all the senses to control is something that we don't really think much, how the tongue is the most difficult of all the senses. Sometimes we feel that other senses are more difficult to control, but it's not like that. It's not like that. You need to talk. You need to taste. This is the two functions of the tongue. If you don't use the tongue to talk in spiritual way and you only engage the mind, you are doing the reverse process, which is faulty. It's not the mind, it's not through the mind that you purify the tongue. It's through the tongue that you purify the mind. Because the tongue is the first and most important, most difficult sense to control. So if you want to control something without having controlled before, then you are just a pretender. You are not going to have success. The mind is controlled through the changed qualities of the information coming from the senses. That means that right now our mind is made of the quality of the sensual experiences that you are having through the use of your senses. When you touch something is material, then the mind ultimately receives a material quality type of information. Sorry, my English is I'm not mother language. it's some effort I had to make to speak in English. So you see something that is material, then the quality comes to your mind. The material qualities is not exactly the form, but it's the quality that it comes. And everything like this. So unless you change the quality of the information that you are entering into your mind will not get purified. So you cannot go directly using the mind in a spiritual sense, because the mind cannot make it, because it's not spiritualized. First you spiritualize it, and then you'll see that one day, yes, you'll be able to think the mantra even without the aid of the senses, but also will able to speak spiritually in a natural way, see spiritually in a natural way, so on and so forth. But the starting point is always by engaging the senses in the spiritual activities. We have 3 minutes more. Yes, Prabhu, please. Can you give him the microphone? Something is wrong with the microphone.
We were discussing about, a while ago that Krishna, Sri Krishna can take any form, like fish, human form or any form. So some believe that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the incarnation of Sri Krishna. So I want to know, is that so?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very special form of Lord Krishna. Extremely special. So much so that he comes very rarely. And when he comes, not everybody understands that he is the Supreme Lord. The difference between this form of the Lord and the other forms of the Lord, that the other forms, Krishna is interested that everyone understand who he is. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the contrary. He does not want people to understand that he is God. Why? Because he comes with a different purpose. He comes with a different idea, with a different mission. The mission Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this world is to teach how to be a devotee. So if he shows up his divinity as Lord Krishna, how can he teach others to be devotee? To teach, again, someone to be a devotee, you have to be a devotee. Just like you cannot teach someone not to smoke if you smoke. You cannot teach others to be happy if you are not happy. So Krishna is very kind, and not only he gives himself and accepts to be served, which is much worse than to serve. Everyone thinks, oh, how beautiful it is to be served. That's wrong. That's not true. There is much more taste in serving than to be served. That's why in creation there is only one who accepts service. Everybody else serves. So Krishna sometimes thinks, how come my devotees, how they are so happy? How much is the happiness? I want to try it. I want to come. And not only I want to taste it more for myself, but I want also to help others to be better devotees. So he comes as a Channavatara. Channa means hidden. So he comes as an avatara. He's an avatara. Avatara means someone who comes down in this material world. But he's hidden. He doesn't want to be, recognized as an avatara, because otherwise he cannot teach others to be devotee, and is distracted by tasting the devotion. Because devotion, the devotees have devotion. The person who receives devotion, that's something different. That's why the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only very special, but it's very, very, very special, because it's the form that Krishna likes it the most. And that's how Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and all this are so much worshipped by us. Because if you take Radha and Krishna, uniting, and you put them together, they become Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That is Krishna, and that is Krishna with the sentiments, with the feeling of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the aradhana, means to worship. And Krishna is the worshipped. And Krishna wants to enter into Radharani and understand what it means to worship. And that's Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He comes. And for 24 years, actually for 30 years, he preached and he teach everybody how to be a devotee. Then he said, okay, this is enough. Now, I did my part. I'm joking a little bit, I'm sorry. Now my devotees will continue my mission. Now I want to taste. And what is the best place to taste the highest level of devotion, if not Sri Jagannath Puri? Sri Jagannath Puri, who is Jagannath? Jagannath is Krishna meeting Radharani again after so many years. There is no better place as Jagannath Puri to taste that particular sentiment of feeling. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes there and stays there 18 years. And these 18 years, he tastes devotion. So yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. This is very, very special form of Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Actually, I came with a raw mind when I entered this place. Now I'm going back with an enlightened mind.